Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here again with my Preservative Talk Radio. Engaging the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong here on Nuga Radio for all of our Nuga Land Nuga Radio listeners. And so here we are today. We're going to be, yes, the narrative today, if you heard on our prior show, the show that just preceded my show, there's a lot of comments today about guns, 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 guns. Now, I'd already planned on talking about this subject way before the crisis in Florida. And we're going to see more and more crisis in Florida or anywhere else throughout the country while our society continues to cascade into depravity. It's going to happen. Now, I'm going to try to be upbeat today and cheery, and also I'm going to be educational today. I'm going to play some clips from some parents that have an erroneous perspective about how people should treat their children when their children are committing felonies. That sounds strange, and you're wondering, how is this going to relate to our Nuga Radio listener? But the reason why I'm bringing this up, because it's going to be very educational, it's going to be very enlightening, and it's one of these things where I want you to be thinking about with your role and your responsibilities and your opportunities, how ought you to behave in various situations? In fact, what kind of pre-planned response ought you to have in your situation for your life and your family and those situations that you're in? This weekend coming up, I'm going to be leading a youth retreat for young men. And the theme is we're going to be talking about courage. We're going to have teenagers there. We're going to be discussing courage. We're going to talk about what it is. In our focus, obviously, is going to be in our Christian lifestyle, our obligation that we have before the Lord our God, the Lord God Almighty. And what is it we're supposed to be doing in our life? What is courage all about? What is cowardice? What is the difference? What are the things that you do in your life that show courage? And what are those things you do in your life that show cowardice? It's obviously going to be the goal is to search the scriptures and see what are the mandates in the scripture for our young men. And so as they go on the next generation, they are the next generation. We've got somebody out there who's actually got a redeemed, regenerate mind. Now, I'm going to play a couple of clips here because I was listening to, you know, doing some research and I stumbled on some things. There was an incident in South Carolina where a couple of young men were robbing a store. And a citizen stopped them, Now, whether he was a citizen or not, a man, let's just say who it is. Man created the image of God, was in the store, observed it, and intervened. And then I've got another audio clip in a situation. This was down in Mobile, Alabama, where a man was in a store. A couple of robbers came in. A robber put a gun to a man's head. And rather than get away from the situation, the man who happened to have a concealed carry permit had a gun on his hip, went toward the incident, found the man there having a gun on the store clerk's head, and the man who was standing by, the man who was in the store before, who was a lawful man, was there. He got involved, and he actually stopped the robbery. And I want to be talking today about some perspective. So those of you who have guns, who don't have guns, who have children, who don't have children, whatever it is, I'm going to give you some perspective, and we're going to be doing some education on your duty. What is your duty? And I'm going to be comparing some of these statements from the parents, from the moms in particular, about what people should have been doing instead of stopping their children from the crime, the felony, and the aggravated assault that was going on. You know, why should somebody intrude upon their child's gross violation of the law of nature? So we're going to talk about that today. And again, if you'd like to see some of the other things that we've done on this Preservative Talk Radio, you can go to preservativetalkradio.com. The other thing, there's a link there. If you want to use your phone, there's a link at preservativetalkradio.com. And right up there at the top on the right, you can click a button. It'll take you to the stream that will work on your phone. So if you go to Hot News Talk Radio or NugaRadio.com or PreservativeTalkRadio.com on your PC, it's going to automatically, at least on PreservativeTalkRadio.com, actually be streaming at you. So you'll be hearing the radio broadcast online. If you're not in your car, you don't have the ability to stay tapped in. You can do it on your phone. Your phone won't naturally play right away. You actually have to click a link, but then it will stream for you. So no matter where you are, you can continue to listen to these very challenging discussions. And hopefully today's show I'm going to be posting to Preservative Talk Radio later. Wow, did all that in one breath. Okay, so I'm going to read something here. If a man knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. That's in the Bible. There's another thing in the Bible. It says, rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. So these are mandates from on high. If the man knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. And even it talks about what you do with the wicked. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If the watchman sees a sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and the people are not warned and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. So these are things that are in the Bible that say what we're supposed to do. If we see the right thing we're supposed to do, we're supposed to do it. It doesn't qualify. It doesn't say, go do the right thing unless it's putting you in danger. And also it says, if people see what is wrong, think of another proverb that talks about when you see the wicked, if you do, the righteous are going to contend with the wicked. So if you're righteous, you're going to contend with those that are wicked. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play something. This audio clip that I heard about I think this first one is an incident that happened in South Carolina. And we're going to see what happened. And what I want you to do is I want you to listen to the story and think about the people who are taking, let's say, active intervention to stop crimes and to intervene so that either the crime isn't happening or people's lives are saved or those whose lives are in jeopardy are no longer in jeopardy, etc. Okay, let's...
Police say that two men burst inside armed with guns, but they were met by a concerned citizen who reportedly witnessed the robbery in progress.
He saw the first suspect with his arms extended holding a large revolver. He looked, he saw a second suspect, also with his arms extended.
That citizen called 911, and police say when the two men came outside and threatened him, the tables were turned. His name has not been released, fearing retaliation.
Relatives say they are heartbroken by what happened, and they want justice for the men.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
Before I get too far into what the family said, this is the situation. Two guys come into a store with guns, and they're going to rob the store. There's a man in the store who's got a gun on his hip, whether it's concealed carry or open carry, I do not know. But he sees the robbery going on. He sees the guns pointed at the clerk. While he's in the store, he calls 911, and he calls for help. Not the alleged robbers, the robbers. They leave the store. The man who is inside the store, what do? He's already called 911. Nobody shot. Nobody's hurt. Now these guys are leaving. Now what is the good he ought to do? For the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. I'm going to go to a little perspective here. We're going to hear more. I'm going to kind of have a cliffhanger for you. You're going to hear the rest of the story, what happened. What should you do? You called 911. The guys came in. They did their little robbery. They left. You're still in the store. You have your gun. They have theirs. They're outside. They're not, let's say, a threat to you. They're moving away. What do you do? Let me read something from the law. Again, this is Sir William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. So if the common law is based on right and wrong. The government doesn't get involved unless you do a wrong. Common law is not a bunch of little statutes. Say you go 5 miles over the speed limit, you're now a misdemeanor or something like that. It's based on absolute rights and absolute wrongs. So let me see what this William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws at the time of the founding of this country with regard to somebody's ability to make an arrest. Any private person that is present when any felony is committed is, listen to this, bound by the law to arrest the felon. Did you ever think about that? That you were possibly bound by the law to arrest the felon? We're going to get into this some more. I have another clip here, and I want you to think about this. And this next clip that you're, the second clip that I'm going to play a little bit later, is a little bit crazy. The mom tells what ought to have been done in a certain situation, and mom has not been educated on right and wrong. I suspect that there's a large part of our population has not been taught right and wrong. So I think those of you in Nuga Radio are going to love this. It's going to just sing to your soul. Any private person that is present when a felony is committed is bound by the law. That's not by the legal stuff, the little rules, the little statutes. It's bound by law. Law is something that is in nature. It was created by God. Is bound by law to arrest the felon on pain of fine and imprisonment if he escapes through the negligence of the standers-by. So if you're a stander-by, they call that a bystander, a stander-by, and you observe a felony and do nothing, then you're complicit. Have you ever seen those videos where you have a teenager beating up a 60-year-old teacher and everybody's standing by? Guess what? They're the assaulters as well, because they have a duty. They have a duty in law, a natural duty, to take action to stop the offense. That's every one of us. Well, these guys are fighting. If you see somebody being, I'm not going to tell you all the ideas, but think about that. That you have a duty to do something. No, that's the police's job. We'll see here in a minute. See who the police really are. Okay, here we go. And then it goes on to some things about breaking into doors and doing things without a warrant and things like that. Well, let's say if they may justify breaking open doors upon following such a felon, if they kill him, provided he cannot otherwise be taken, it is justifiable. So justifiable, that would be a situation where you're now using arms. Let's go to the rest of this story. Now, as you heard before, the guy was in the store. These guys robbed him. He calls 911, and that's all we know so far. Let's hear the rest of this.
Relatives say they are heartbroken by what happened, and they want justice for the men.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
With loved ones by her side, Virginia Medina is mourning her 24-year-old son, William Medina. One of the alleged Crick's Corner robbers shot to death Monday alongside 18-year-old Robert Dakar. Family members say the two were close friends and good men.
My brother was a good kid. He hung out with the wrong crowd. He's not going to get a chance to remake up for it.
He's not no thug or no big heart criminal or nothing like that. People painted the picture like, oh, he's a bad person. He is not a bad person. He was never a bad person. He's a good boy. He really was.
Okay, now, he's not a bad person. He's not a bad person. He's not a hardened criminal. He was using a gun. This is an assault. It's a threat to kill. I'm going to kill you. Oh, by the way, give me your money. He's not a bad person. He's hanging around the wrong crowd. I want to alert parents. If your children are hanging around the wrong crowd, it's on you right now. You have a little bit of say with that. You know, I have children. I have four children. And we were very careful to make sure they didn't hang around the wrong crowd. Now, some of you say, well, you know, not everybody. I'm just telling you, I got a suspicion, and I know in my own life as a growing up, there's more on us. Your children are not trustworthy. I don't care how nice they are or how nice they're going to be. I've had children. I've had four of them. They're not trustworthy. They aren't. That's your job to make sure that by the time they get their brain fully developed, say they're about 22, and they've figured out what they're going to do for their vocation, and they're doing it. Up until that time, they are not trustworthy. Until you turn them loose, they are not trustworthy. You give them opportunities to succeed, but you also deny them opportunities to fail. So he's not a bad person.
And he took the law into his own hands and walked away scot-free.
How about if people just start running around here, policing the city on their own?
And they got
how much worse is it going to get just because they have a gun license?
Okay, so he took the law into his own hands. I want you to listen to this again. And the point is, let's listen to mom's perspective. It's not fair. Her sons were robbing a store. They ended up getting shot. But I want you to hear this last statement about taking the law in your own hands. We're going to back up in this situation. He was in the store by himself, in the store, the man who did the shooting, the customer who called 911. He was in the store. The two robbers left. How did they get shot?
Took the law into his own hands and walked away scot-free.
How about if people just start running around here policing the city on their own?
And they got
how much worse is it going to get just because they have a gun license?
Okay, why don't people just go around policing stuff themselves? This is an alert for us. People, we are the police. The police have no authority. They have no power whatsoever that you and I do not have to give them. If we do not have the power to give them, if we don't have the authority to give them power, anything they do is without authority, and it is tyranny. It is evil. It is sinful. We are the police. You and I are the ones who have the duty to stop the felon. Let's reach back in time. Any private person that is present when any felony is committed is bound by law to arrest the felon on pain of fine and imprisonment if he escaped through the negligence of the bystanders. Now, what this guy could have done, he could have possibly snuck up on him. Of course, he knows there's two guys with guns. He could have snuck up on him and shot him when they weren't looking. He could have, and it would have been justifiable. There was, at that point, when somebody's got a gun on somebody, that you just opened yourself up to having somebody shoot you. He could have done that. What he did, for whatever reason, again, we weren't in the store, but these two guys got away. They got through the front door. Now, the customer did not go outside and shoot the guys down. Watch the bravery of this man. He said this. They went, I don't know, maybe they were about 50 feet away from the front door when the customer came out and he says, "Stop, you're under arrest." And they're like, "What? You're kidding. Yes, you need to stay here. You've committed a felony and I'm commanding you to stop until the police arrive and put you in custody." I made a citizen's arrest about 6 months ago. I mean, so you have the authority. You have not the authority. Let's go back to the law. Any private person that is present when any felony is committed is bound by law to arrest the felon. Look at the mindset of this man who happened to have the gun on his hip. He goes out and he fulfills his duty. He is the policeman. He doesn't have all the cuffs and all the tools and accoutrements necessary to put these guys into custody and take them off to the hoosegow. But he's got the authority of his word. So he commands them to stop and that they're under arrest, to put their weapons down. What they did is they turned their weapons toward him. There was a shootout and the customer won. The two robbers went down. I watched, and their body temperature changed and became basically the same as the pavement upon which they were lying. That's a very stark thing. And with all these guns and things that are going on, there's perspective. I think what we want to do, and this is before the shooting took place in Florida, but I've had this on my list of things to talk about. What is your perspective? What do you think your duty is? Your duty is to arrest somebody. You have the authority to arrest. And I'll give you a little story that happened just a little while ago. I saw a man fall off his bicycle, and I didn't know if he was having a seizure or if he was drunk or something like that. But there were people that had turned right onto that street he was on and were accelerating and trying to just get down the road. The first car sees him, it pulls into the left lane and just presses on. The second car sees him with his legs sticking out. The guy fell in the street and his legs are sticking way out in the driving area. The second car sees the guy and he pulls aside. The third car didn't see the guy because it was obstructed by these first two cars. And by the time she gets there, she sees him at the last second. She tries to turn into the next lane, wondering if there was a car there. And she slams on her brake. She was being followed by somebody's little fake race cars. And, you know, this kind of cars with small little 2-liter engines and they ride low and all that kind of stuff. But he was right on her tail. He slams into her. She slammed on the brakes to not run over this drunk's legs. So I went over and I checked on him. I found out he was drunk. He wasn't sick. He wasn't like he had a seizure. And he was just laying there in the street and he was going to leave. He said, "Well, I didn't do nothing." I said, "Yes, you did. You were drunk in public and you fell into the street and your legs were sticking out there. And somebody trying to avoid running over your legs ended up getting in a wreck. It's your fault, dude." Okay. My Southern California kicked in. So he was going to leave. I said, "Well, I'm going to follow you home." I said, "Okay, everybody, I got my phone. I'll be right back, but I'm going to follow this guy home." So he didn't want that to happen. So finally, I talked to him a little bit, and then I said, "Listen, this is the way it is. You're responsible for your behavior caused this, and you need to be held accountable. So I hereby, under the authority I have as a man, I place you under arrest. And you are not going to leave here. I'm not going to release you until I can turn you over to a police officer. Guess what? The guy stayed right there. This happened about 6 months ago. And of course, I had to stick around. My day changed. I had to change my schedule. My life event changed because I had this thorough report that I had to, arrest report, effectively, that I had to fill out. What's your perspective? You are the person in charge. God has ordained you to be in charge, and you need to take authority for it. And I think God will protect you. But we're going to come back. We're going to list some more examples, case studies of how you can succeed in this. Fellow Freedom Fans, David Allen Carmichael back here with my Preservative Talk Radio on Nuga Radio. Before I left, I was talking about some things that I think is very important. I think it's training. This is a training scenario. What do you do? What constitutes cowardice? What constitutes courage? Again, I'm going to be talking to a group of young men this weekend. If you want me to come talk to your group of young men, you certainly can do that. You go send an email to david@preservativetalkradio.com. If you'd like me to come speak to your group one way or the other, just let me know. Usually my topics that I'm going to talk about is some extreme faith, or actually extreme obedience, notwithstanding your lack of faith, obedience to the Word of God. And I've got these anecdotes about some awesome divine intervention that came after some crazy obedience. So if you'd like any of those conversations, please, no doubt, send me an email, david@preservativetalkradio.com. Would love to speak to your group. Again, this weekend, I'm going to be talking to some young people. I'm going to be talking about heroes and cowards and what is the difference. But one of the things I think that you're going to get more courage from those who know to do right, who have been educated in right and wrong and know the absolutes of right and wrong. Otherwise, you're stuck with making decisions on your feelings. Do I feel like putting myself at risk for my neighbor? Do I feel like stopping a felon at my own risk? Risk or not? Do I feel like it? If a man knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. If somebody knows right and wrong, there's a motivation to act. And it appears as courage. It will be courage. It is truth. It is courage. Because you know what's right and you know what's wrong. You do what's right, notwithstanding the consequences that may be coming your way. That somebody who's able to do what is right, notwithstanding the threat. Here's another scripture. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. If I know that's a right thing to do, because I've read the Bible, it tells me right and wrong. Then at that point, it doesn't come down to, you know, it helps my courage. It's hard to be a coward, I think, at that point, because there's this motivator, an absolute right that motivates me. Here's another two of my favorite verses. They're in Proverbs 28. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. And we're going to go to an audio clip, and this is a mother speaking. Her son was shot, was not killed, but her son was in the middle of a bad crime, a very bad crime, putting somebody else's life in danger with a gun to their head. This son of this mother was. But I want you to listen to what the mother had to say on this. It says, and again, the Bible is, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. So we're going to hear a mother praising her child because of somebody else contending with their child. Again, the next verse, Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. I would say I would like to see the statistic of somebody who carries a gun as a regular thing that they do. I wonder how many of those are actually like read the Bible and know right and wrong. I suspect there's a large number of people that have been taught right and wrong who are the ones who courageously carry arms, to not just to protect themselves. I think most people that do that are mindful of protecting others. And they're realizing if they know right and wrong, and there's going to be a time that they may have to do that which is right to keep somebody else from doing a wrong. That's my theory. The last story was a couple of guys who went into a store. They're robbing it. A customer in there had a gun, and the customer called 911. And then police hadn't got there in time. The robbers left the building. The customer steps outside and stops them and places them under arrest. And they didn't like that. They pulled their guns on him. He shot them. They both died. The customer stayed alive and had something to talk about to the officer. The mother said, that's not fair. And then one of the cousins or friends or somebody says, what is going to happen if everybody starts upholding the law and being like the police? Well, guess what? There'd be less lawlessness if we would all come to the understanding of the police have no duty that we don't have to give them. So it's our duty. They're our delegates. Let's hear this next clip about a different incident, and I want you to hear what the mom suggested the customer should do. And I want you to think about, because many of our listeners, they carry guns. Also, they've been in situations where they've seen the wrong thing to do. They've been in situations where they've been victims of it. Let's get some education.
That man was shopping at a store when a masked gunman came in and held the employees at gunpoint. Instead of hiding, though, the customer stepped in to help.
It was just instinct, man. It happened so quick. I didn't want to shoot him, but when I saw him swing around so fast, I didn't want to get shot either.
He noticed a masked gunman walking an employee to the front of the store. He could have easily hidden. He could have easily run away and called for help. Instead, he says he moved in closer.
Sorry. It was supposed to end on closer. So that's the story. I think it was a Dollar Tree, something like that. I think it was a Dollar Tree. Customer is in there. He's got a gun. It turns out there were two robbers that came in, put a gun on the, you're going to hear the story. But instead of hiding, instead of running away, instead of staying low, he moved toward the incident. He placed himself in a situation where he could intervene. Again, for those who weren't here in the first event, I want you to listen. This is the law as our founders knew it. This was written in 1766, and it was talk about law that is appropriate. It was the Common Laws of England. It was on commentaries on the laws of England by Sir William Blackstone, where he said any private person that is present when a felony is committed is bound by law to arrest the felon. And on pain of fine and imprisonment, if he escapes through the negligence of the standers-by. So that means you're duty-bound to intervene and to arrest the felon, to do what is right rather than what might be safe. Think of some of that's in the news recently. And then there's actually, at least under the common law, you could be fined and imprisoned if somebody does some felony and you didn't do anything to intervene. You know, it's our duty to intervene. So here's what this guy did is he intervened. We're going to hear the rest of the story. And we're also going to see what his wife, or not his wife, the mother of the attacker, the mother of the gunman, the mother of the robber.
He had the gun to his head. He had him on his knees. I drew my gun on him and I said, hey, don't move. At that point, he swung around, and before he had a chance to aim the gun at me, I fired. They tend to think that they're the only ones with guns. I've been legally carrying my firearm for a little over 4 years now, and thank God I've never had to use it until, you know, of course, last night. But it just goes to show that it can work. It's good to have concealed carry. You know, you never know when you're going to need it.
Now, this man needed it. Isn't that interesting? He moved toward the event, and he could have just shot the guy, because you realize to confront him and say, stop what you're doing, he's making an arrest. He's given the guy a chance. Talk about giving the guy an edge. The guy is now, he's not being surprised. If you go to self-defense videos or training or whatever, they're going to tell you, you know, you don't have any requirement. When the guy's got a gun on somebody's head, you don't have any requirement to say, freeze, you're under citizen's arrest. No requirement. You can eliminate the threat. It's whether they're threatening you or threatening your innocent friend. It doesn't matter. You can eliminate the threat. There's no requirement whatsoever to give them a chance to kill you or the person. This is called an ambush. It's like a counter ambush. They've ambushed the storekeeper and put a gun to their head. It's justifiable homicide. They're in the middle of the act. They're in the middle of the threat of death upon somebody. But watch what a righteous man does. And a righteous man with courage, he goes up to him, he says, stop what you're doing. And the guy could have stopped what he's doing, realized, oh, he's got the drop on me, and I think he's serious, but this robber turned the gun toward the customer, who was the righteous man. He turned the gun toward the righteous man, and that's when the righteous man opened fire. He shot him five times. Like, when he opened fire, he made sure he was going to stop the threat. The gun at least came away from the head of the teller. You know, that's important. But as it came toward him, now he realized this guy is not complying. And it's very subtle. It's hundredths of a second, you can distinguish the fact that this guy intends to do wickedly. So the guy shot him. Now, let's see what mom says. Now, again, I'm going to quote the Bible so we know right and wrong. So most people try to figure out right and wrong on their feelings. I'm sorry, there's a higher authority here. It says, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. The wicked are going to forsake the law, and the righteous contend with those. So it also says, rescue the weak and needy, deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. That's a mandate from on high. If the man knows a good he ought to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let's see what mom's perspective is. And if you've got mom's perspective, I'm doing this specifically so you can change your perspective and teach your children to not have that perspective. Let's listen.
If his life was not in danger, if no one had a gun up to him, if no one pointed a gun at him, what gives him the right to think that it's okay to just shoot someone? You should have just left the store and went wherever you had to go, in your car or whatever.
Did you? I want you to listen to that again. This is insane, but you know what? If we don't sit down and dissect it, we don't know how exactly insane this is. So she believes, oh, he didn't have a gun in your temple. So what you need to do is be complicit. You need to be a stander-by who does nothing. If your culture, if your family, if your situation are being perpetuated, it could be in the public school. I don't know where people are getting this. I do not know where they're getting this. But if you're a stander-by, it's not just the person perpetrating and the victim. You have the duty under that which is right to do that which is right. Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm getting impassioned here.
If his life was not in danger, if no one had a gun up to him, if no one pointed a gun at him, what gives him the right to think that it's okay to just shoot someone? You should have just left the store and went wherever you had to go, in your car or whatever.
Now, Mom, I'm going to let you know, Mom, he didn't have to stop him. He could have just eliminated the man's life. Your robber son's life could have been eliminated immediately. There was no requirement to give him a chance to repent. But this man, who is brave, is courageous guy, he gave the young robber an opportunity to repent, to change his behavior before he put himself in a situation where this man, the courageous man, had no choice but to use deadly force. Here we go. Any private person that is present when any felony is committed is bound by law to arrest the felon. The man was arresting him. He had a duty, he had an obligation, even at his own risk. Now, he didn't have to arrest him. He could have just eliminated the threat. But evil men do not understand justice. Those who seek the Lord understand all. To have courage, I think you have to have that innate relationship with Almighty God. I really do. To have that, I might be wrong here, but I really think it's a kind of person who is righteous in their heart and in their mind, who would even to the point where even their life is not so important as even the life of the robber was important enough to the man with the who was intervening. The righteous man valued the wicked robber threatening murder. He valued him so much that he gave him an opportunity to repent. It was amazing. That is courage. But any private person that is present when any felony is committed, that's me, that's you, that's us, we're bound by law to arrest the felon on pain of fine and imprisonment if he escapes through the negligence of the standers-by. So if we don't do it and he gets away, it's our fault. If he hurts the customer, I mean, if he hurts the clerk behind the counter, if the guy with the gun on the clerk's head kills the clerk, it's my fault. If I have the mechanism or means to stop it, I might be crazy enough to even say with my mouth, you're under arrest, and not have a gun. I, you know, under in the name of the law, right? In the name of the law, that is a law that God has instituted. You are under arrest. Cease and desist your threats of death, your threat of assault. Put down your gun now in the name of the law. I've seen a video where the lady says, the guy puts a gun on this lady, says, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. By power of the Holy Spirit, come and convict this man of his evil, that he might repent of his sin and come to know you and be healed, right? So she's rebuking the guy with a gun. And he did. He turned around, he left. You know? So I think it takes innate, to have that innate courage or that deep courage, I think it takes faith and a knowledge and a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's my opinion. Listen what it says. This is the law. And if somebody is chasing a felon or somebody who's got a gun or whatever, and they kill him, provided he cannot be otherwise taken, it is justifiable. This is the kind of right and wrong. There's an absolute right to this. I want you to hear the rest of the story here.
Now, White's family told us that he was hanging with the wrong people and needed help. They believe he didn't deserve to be shot. His last alleged robbery was at the original Oyster House on the Causeway. Officials say he even had the same M.O.
She believed that he was just hanging around with the wrong crowd. He did not deserve to be shot. Lady, your son had a gun with bullets in it at the head of an innocent person, was threatening death upon them. He didn't deserve to be shot. Now, lady, not only did he have that the guy said to him, stop what you're doing, put down the gun. Your son turned the gun toward the man who was giving him an authoritative command. He was a little bit disrespectful to his elders, my dear. For those of you who have been down to Mobile, it's quite a drive, but the next state over, and that causeway, you know that there's that restaurant that sits out on this little island there, if you've ever gone to Pensacola or anything like that, you know. You've seen it. You've been on the causeway. So some of you have gone on vacation and been down there and been there. It's that funny looking. I always thought, you know, I might want to go to that restaurant sometime. I think my family's been there, but I've never done it. And so he went and rested. Now, me, I would have enough sense to not go rob that place on the causeway. It's pretty isolated. And I got a suspicion down there is you're probably not going to go into a place where they're not armed. But the guy was arrested immediately just the month before for the same armed robbery move. Just in the previous one, he was not shot. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, is right and wrong and what is courage. And sometimes having a gun does not mean you're courageous. It says possibly that you're a coward. One of the things that we had recently in Florida in particular was the Zimmerman Trayvon Martin thing. And I contend that George Zimmerman had false courage on his hip, because when I observed what happened, he put himself in a situation instead of loving Trayvon Martin, who's walking through the neighborhood. And he actually was supposed to be in that neighborhood. His father lived nearby. Instead of saying to the young man with courage, like a man, I hope I would do this, but this, the kind of thing I try to reconstruct, what would I do if I saw Trayvon Martin walking between these townhouses or whatever, and I'd known that recently there'd been a lot of burglaries from teenagers? I might have said, hey, buddy, I just got to tell you, there's been a lot of burglaries lately from teenagers walking through here that weren't from the area. So just be careful. Well, if I were you, I'd stay on the main path, and rather than take the shortcut, because there's people around here that are kind of paranoid. Can I help you? You're looking for something? He might have been looking for somebody. He may have had a need or something like that. But you man up to him and you convey to him, hey, do that. You don't stalk him. You don't walk in behind him because you got a gun on your hip. You don't do it. Because what happens if the guy says, oh, my goodness, I got a guy stalking me? You are now threatening him. You know what I mean? A natural person is going to think this guy's threatening me. Now, Trayvon Martin did the wrong thing. He came back and attacked the dude. Totally wicked. And he got more than he expected. He was being wicked, and it came back and bit him. I think Mr. Zimmerman was being a little bit wimpy, and it came back to bite him. Because now he gets in a situation where the only thing he's got is the gun on his hip, his packaged courage, his faux courage. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to come to the place where we know what is right and wrong. And again, my Preservative Talk Radio, I try to address these things. And if I'm wrong, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to dialogue with me once in a while and to challenge me. I know there are people that do, and sometimes they contact me after the show and sometimes before the show and render their opinion on something I say. I love that. You can send me an email at david@preservativetalkradio.com, because my goal here is to make this show a preservative. on Nuga Radio has invited me to bring Preservative Talk Radio. It's going to be educational. I'm going to be talking about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. So there's a higher standard that you can hold me to. You can hold me accountable to that which is absolutely right. And again, I'm going to try to dissect the issues and go back and find out what is the foundation to the issue, rather than whining about what I feel or what other people feel with regard to the issues of the day. So it's more important not that you have the gun or you do the right move, but you know the one who made you, that you have a relationship with the one who walked in the garden in the breeze of the day calling out for Adam and Eve because he wanted relationship with them. He made them for relationship, and he made a mechanism to, when we as people do what is wrong and break the relationship with our Heavenly Father, he made a mechanism to make it straight and give us the ability, when we become righteous, to understand all. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. David Alan Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio.